Hello and welcome to Soul Ignition with your host, Jana, where it is my mission to help you tune into, hone, fully trust your intuition, and take inspired action to create a life that you are so fully and completely in love with. I'll be sharing inspiration from my own life, as well as powerful interviews with some of our top thought leaders in the field of self-development, of coaching, and all heart-centered entrepreneurs that have a story to share, a story to inspire us to tune in, to allow ourselves to be fully led from a place of full faith and trust in the magic, the miracles that come as a result of. We'll be talking about moving through surrender, allowing ourselves the space and time to fully get clear on what we want, and empowering ourselves to have the courage to take the action that our hearts are calling us to create lives and businesses that we love. We'll also deep dive into different elements of business when you're fully led from this space and what that gets to look like when you scale. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm sending you all my love. Jana. Welcome to another edition of your Soul Ignition podcast with Jana. Today, I have the pleasure to interview Shauna Kathleen, embodied manifestation mentor who teaches vision building women how to create their life with self-expression, personal power, and mind body connection. And if you all could see her right now, she is token up some Palo Santo for us to purify the energetic realms across all time and space for all of you. So without further ado, I'm going to hand the mic over to you. Shauna, please tell us more about yourself and a little deeper understanding of what it means to be fully expressed and to step into personal power through a mind-body connection.
Yes. I love how you just weaved that all together in a single question. So I just want to acknowledge that we're Jana and Shauna, and I think that that's a fantastic pair. Okay, so let me put the Palo Santo down. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you so much. Let's just dive right in. Self-expression, I call it like full embodied self-expression, right? It's what we all sort of yearn for, especially in this community. And it seems like it's just these fleeting moments of this full embodied self-expression. And if I had to define like what full self-expression was, it would be realizing that like expression and consumption are the same thing, right? So sort of this integrated viewpoint to where like we can think of expression, we can think of like base level expression of like the words that we speak, right? So our self-expression. Well, yes, we're expressing those words, but those words are coming from the thoughts and the things that we view and consume. And so it's this beautiful synergistic relationship. And then as that applies to personal power, well, when we realize that we can actually fully choose what we consume and choose how we express, that just feeds into us learning how to connect with our mind body and learning like how to read the feedback from what our body's telling us and how to read the feedback of the thoughts that we think. And then we can utilize that power of just awareness to choose to create our life in whatever way we see fit. And so my business name is Goldmind. And that's sort of the big umbrella that I like is just the universe is mental. And I truly believe that. And we can just create our lives to reflect the life that we want.
I love that. Gold, mind, and the universe is mental. Two really beautiful little nuggets there. Ready for the listeners. Can you tell us a little bit more about where did that name come from? Gold, mind.
So I played with business. It's been official. Like I've been like an LLC for like 2 years, just under. And I played with names and I wanted my intuition to feel it. I wanted my soul to feel it. And I couldn't tell you exactly when I came up with that name, but I knew it was right. And I paired it with, so actually these old, I'm assuming some of your listeners know like hermetic principles, these old universal principles that the mental universe was really distinguished for me because I was long story short, I got really sick from an autoimmune disease and I almost died twice. I was bedridden for like 6 months or more. And I lost my physical body completely. I couldn't walk. I lost my emotional body. I didn't laugh for like a month and a half. And so I had my mental body. And my mental body, when I realized that I could choose my thoughts and I realized I could choose what my mental body was communicating with me, that changed the game for me. And then I just was so, I got so picky with what I chose to consume, to where the mind was just the first thing that I changed to change everything else. And the gold, I am a nerd for like ancient lost civilizations, Egypt, and just total global civilizations. And the gold just reminds me of that ancient wisdom. And then somehow, you know, there's gold mine, which like gold mining, right? Which is so, such a nice picture to go along with gold mind. And I don't know, it just fit together and it felt really right. And it's really interesting because the more I dive into spiritual theory, the more that pulls out and makes sense of why I named it that. Does that make sense?
It absolutely resonates. And there's even more that we have in common because it's like, I'm listening to myself and I love it. I love ancient Egypt. I love understanding the background of where we came from as a multidimensional aspect of self. Right. And so as you were sharing that, that really resonates. And I love how you're making it really accessible and digestible in the human as well. Because oftentimes in our community, I've noticed that, you know, especially after the initial awakening, there's almost like this, oh, I just want to ascend and leave my body behind. But that's not what we came here to do. So I love that. Yes.
Absolutely. Can I add something else?
Yeah, please.
As you're talking, I remembered another reason the gold was so pervasive for me. You know, I think when everybody sort of figures out that they can consciously create, they hear that metaphor of, they hear that metaphor of the radio. Like we are a radio, we can tune to the frequency. And the gold reminds me of like, oh my God, the word has gone. The word has left me. The gold, the electricity is very, what is it called? When electricity moves quickly through something.
Conducts. Yes.
It's like this conductor. So we can like, in those ancients, they used to wear these gold crowns on their head around the pineal gland and all these things. And so it reminds me that we're just these radio tuners and we can set our point.
So it's to me, it sounds like what we came here to do is to become the most potent conductors of the highest timeline, the highest frequency, however we want to speak into it, but really being a powerful conduit for that highest expression of self.
Yeah. And I believe that the feedback that we give to whatever we believe our source is, right? Whatever name we want to put on it. I believe that our experiences, even if they're like a low level emotion experience, maybe we don't hit the goals. Maybe we don't create the dreams. Maybe we don't do these things. I still believe that feedback, even with the murderers and all of these people, are feeding back to help our, whatever the collective is, evolve into, yeah, a higher frequency, a better version.
Yeah, I really love that too, because it reminds me of the understanding that there is no right or wrong, good or bad. It's all part of the divine plan. And it's all part of what you just said. It's feedback going back to the collective and expanding. So it's all perfect because it's assisting in the evolution. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. We're all in the interdimensional realm today. So thank you for going there with me. So beautiful. Yeah. Well, can you take us back a little bit to when you first had this revelation that you wanted to do this sort of work in the world?
Yes, I was thinking about this and it was really interesting because when I was sick, so I was diagnosed with Crohn's disease, which is like a it's the full gastrointestinal tract, right? It can affect any place on that. I have a big history there. And so then naturally, I got into learning about the gut and learning about health. And fortunately, my boyfriend was super into naturopathic medicine and he sent me to his naturopathic doctor. And then I took this, my diet changed like 180 from 0 to 180. I was like fast food, pizza, Swedish fish, like all the things, 180 to no gluten, no sugar, no soy, no corn, no nothing. And I saw my body heal itself. And so I got really interested in the body. And then from learning about the gut and learning about this gut-brain connection, right? A lot of people are learning that the gut and the brain are connected and one affects the other. We got into bone broth. And bone broth is very nourishing for the gut. And that's where my disease was manifesting. So we started making our own bone broth from the best bones from the happiest animals possible. And then eventually people wanted us to give them the recipe. They wanted us to make them bone broth. And so we started a company, which never ended up being an official company, called Belly Brain. And we started selling in, it was interesting how it all happened, but we started selling in the local farmers markets, and the weekends we'd sell the bone broth. And it would lead into these really awesome conversations with people who have disease, want to change their mind around, who are interested in learning all these new things. And then eventually I went in and did that with Adam, my boyfriend. We did that together. And then we just decided we didn't want to do it anymore. It was just something. We were like, no, we learned it. We're glad that we did it. It's not for us. And then from that point, I kept getting people reflecting to me that I should be a coach. I should be an inspirational speaker because I was sharing my story of me healing. And I was like, no, I'm not. I'm not. As so many of us are like, no, I'm not. I don't know what you're talking about. And then I decided that I wanted to work for myself. And I was like, okay, what's the feedback telling me? The feedback is telling me I have a bigger message here. It was on my heart. I could feel it in my soul. I could feel it in my body. And then I just decided. And I thought, let me just try unattached. And I hired my first mentor. And a month and a half later, I had my first client, which was amazing. And then that was like just over 2 years ago.
Wow, incredible. And it just really speaks to without attachment, when we surrender and allow ourselves to follow the nudges, everything that was in the most aligned fashion starts to come together really beautifully.
Yeah. You know, I had to, you keep talking and I'm like, oh, this adds. I found myself at a place when I was like so near death. Like I could have chose to die. I could have just chose to say, fuck this and just go into whatever's next. And I didn't. And I think when we have these histories filled with trauma, manipulation, all these things, as my history was filled with, that there was something happened. I don't know when I started seeing purpose in everything. And I was like, okay, awesome. If this had a purpose, what would it be? If I could choose the purpose for this, what would it be? And so I had a deep burning within my soul, this ignition that I was like, okay, I'm going to spread this message somehow, some way. Let me figure out how.
Yeah. Yeah. And we have a choice is one of my favorite statements. And when you were sharing, it's interesting that you brought up what you brought up. And that's why I love these conversations, because they're so interdimensional and intuitive. Is as you were sharing, what I saw was there was a fork in the road and she had a choice and she chose life.
Yes.
Full body chills, sisters. So good. So good. Oh, I love that. Well, when you tune into, and maybe you can paint a little picture of then what happened, what did success in your business look like as you continued? Because you had a pretty quick turnaround. First client within a month, was it, of starting? Really quick.
It was a month and a half.
Month and a half. And that's really beautiful for those listening that are, right now we're at a time in our collective where people have lost their jobs and are really seeking new ways to embark on a future as entrepreneurs. Some are really activating some gifts, realizing that maybe that this is a direction they want to go in. Because I know for a long time, just like you said, there's been a voice and I wasn't really honoring that voice until something got loud enough to help me pivot and step into this mission. And so if you could share a little bit of what success looked like for you and then what you attribute to your success so that the listeners that are in that phase of beginning can really see what that can look like for them.
So just so I'm clear, you want me to speak to the listeners listening, or the listeners listening, you want me to speak to the listeners who like want to take this journey on of being this type of an entrepreneur and light worker, healer, coach, mentor?
Yeah. And I'm also hearing it's going to help everybody.
Okay.
And why I believe that to be true is that as I say that, I've actually advanced, not even advanced, I would say I've really pivoted this last 60 days where I got into an even more deep certainty of who I am and who I get to bloom into. So your wisdom will apply regardless of if they're first starting this journey, or if they're at a pivotal point and they're like, man, business is not going to look the same anymore. Who am I? What does my business now get to look like? Mm. So I see that's going to weave some really beautiful wisdom for everybody.
Yeah. And it's interesting because I'm going through a shift now as well. So I totally understand what you're saying. All right. So I actually did a year worth of personal development on myself while I was sick before I hired the business coach to get me up and running. And that was before I knew I wanted a coach. I just knew that something within my personality got to change because I didn't like the feedback that my life was giving me and these repeated lessons. And so I did a year of self-work first. And I would say that's where it starts, is this embodiment piece first, because the way that things go, when we are not embodied, we could have results, but they're not sustained. And that's why I like the term embodied manifestation, is because it creates these sustained results. Whereas some people can teach manifestation and it's these quick results, but the internal emotional state, if that doesn't match the results, those are going to go away. And then it's going to feel like it was all for nothing. And so doing our own work first, I attribute highly to my success, because that not only touched me, changed me, but it touched everybody around me, everybody in my relationships. I gave them the energetic permission to rise into who they want to be. Mm-hmm. And after I made the decision to go for it, excuse me, I had a wonderful first mentor. And I also, my first client was for $3,000, which is the very start of like high-end pricing. So I was very fortunate that my coach stood for this for me. And so I was writing down some notes thinking about this conversation. And I think so I saw the patterns of my pain points in my life, right? The patterns were self-expression, personal power, mind-body connection, right? Those three things came up at every major pain point throughout my life when I went and revisited. So I knew that that was my work. Mm-hmm. And I knew that I could really connect with people, because if that's what they're going through, it's not like I'm not a financial advisor, because that's not my work. My work is this. And the biggest shift and the biggest thing that always takes the weight off, because we always find ourselves back here no matter how deep into the work that we are, is realizing that being a master in my work, charging high prices for my work, creating good content for my work, showing up embodied in my work, being a master in my work means that I must be a master in my work, right? Mm-hmm. Which means that I must still practice. I get to still practice. I'm going to come up on walls to the things that I'm practicing so I can learn, so then I can teach. And I think that there's this misconception that when we step into this mentorship or coach role that we must be perfect, right? And I also want to speak very human here. And I think that there's a lot of people stepping into these roles that may not be at a point to, they haven't sustained their results long enough to actually pull people forward and know what they're talking about. And all it takes is us to be three steps ahead of somebody. That's all it is, right? Because three steps ahead of me is way different. And when we look up, and I look up at these people, like I look at some of these people in spiritual and personal development, and I would not connect with them. Therefore, I'm not going to hire them. Mm-hmm. And so to circle back around to your question, what I attribute to that success is doing my own work first and knowing that I'm constantly in the work because it's my work, right? Mm-hmm. We don't have to be perfection. We just get to constantly improve, and it's this progress over perfection. And that's worked really, really well for me. I've made the most money I've ever made in this virus, which was such a beautiful reflection for me, because I wasn't expecting it, right? It wasn't something that I was like trying to prove, and it came in. And so I have these friends too, and we're all having the same experience. And it's been this beautiful like opportunity to say like, hey, things don't have to be, if they're bad over in this one area, that doesn't mean the whole thing is bad. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I love that. I love that. Yes, yes, yes. It's about, it goes back to, we create our reality, and what we focus on, we amplify, and we have a choice. If we choose into, oh, this means that now everything has to fall apart and I won't succeed, then that's what's going to become real for you. And it's beautiful to witness you, myself, so many people in the industry are actually living the opposite truth. You know? Yeah. And the other thing that I really loved is it's about the ever evolving journey. We've never arrived and now we're ready to do the work we came here to do. I'm always growing. I'm always navigating. I think month to month, I don't know who I am half the time, because when I turn around, I've already evolved to a new level. What was I talking about last month? Because I swear we have a whole new version of the wisdom coming through.
I think it's really important to, I'm finding that it's really important. For some reason, I can get caught up in my mind. Mm-hmm. Where I want to evolve into this like next level of expression, which is obviously in our work, it's going to be like presented online publicly. And sometimes I find myself assuming that I'm like not out of the box yet. And I'm like, I don't want to be weird. I don't want this to be awkward. It's like, I'm already out of the box. Why am I stopping myself from being more out of the box when I shattered the box like 3 years ago? Do you know what I'm, do you feel me there?
Yeah, I actually just recorded an 8-minute podcast riff right before our call, of course. And it was inspired by a conversation with a dear sister of mine who posed this question. And she said, how do you not care? How can I not care? And what that meant for her is, how can I really take a stand for who I am and use my voice and share my truth and not care what other people are going to think? What if my parents see me? What if my friends see me? And of course, this is a conversation we're not, it's like breaking the box and realizing that who are you if you're not your most authentic self? And so it applies at the beginning when you're first stepping out and starting to talk about things, and people are going to look at you like you're a little weird. But that's been me my whole life. My whole life, I said things and I would get, you're too profound. Why does it have to be so deep? They would just stare at me. They couldn't compute. And that felt very alienating. I felt very alone. I imagine many of the listeners have gone through this. We all resonate at that. And so hearing her say that, I realized I just went through the same thing in January when I went to a whole new level as a spiritual leader, not just as a coach, you know, and now I'm doing activations and I'm doing less with people, but the energy, because I have activated a stronger conduit within myself, is creating a bigger ripple effect and outcome for the listener, for the receiver. And that's been next level for me. And I'm thinking, why didn't I start and go big sooner?
Do we have time to talk about people pleasing?
Yes. Can we please talk about people pleasing? We have all the time in the world. Oh my God. That is so relevant. Yes. That's exactly what this is about.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. All right. So I had this massive breakthrough, and I don't think I got it from anyone. I think it just sort of happened, and I've been teaching it now for a couple of years in different ways. And I've been like playing with the ways to teach it to the people. And I think it really depends on the audience and how tapped in the audience is, if they understand the message that I'm spreading here. And so as it comes to exactly this, like self-expression, we don't do it because of the fear of judgment or the fear of triggering other people. First of all, just a reminder, because we all know this anyways, for all of the listeners and for us, mm-hmm. is people are going to judge us either way. Mm-hmm. People judge me for not charging more for my services. People judge me for not speaking my truth more, right? It just happens. So let's just become comfortable with it. But the people-pleasing thing is so interesting, and I love just blowing people's minds with this, because I can just tell from your language that your listeners, the tribe, will understand what I'm saying. When we already know that we create our reality, and yes, we are human, yes, things happen, and we can create our internal reality, and what we do in that, so it's like the, on a scientific level, the magnetic field of the heart reaches out beyond our body, right? It has this toroidal flow and it reaches out beyond our body. And so we're actually affecting other people scientifically through our emotional state and through our actions, right? So base fundamental thing to feel. And then because of this, because of our field, a lot of us in this world are empaths, right? We can really feel into other people's energies. We don't know how to decipher what's theirs and what's ours. So then we find that we become affected and then we think that we're introverts and really we just don't know how to hold ourselves to the energy that we want. And then we people please because we can feel certain things, let alone how we're programmed to think that we should respond. Mm-hmm. And so we're people pleasing. And let's talk about this. What does people pleasing look like? It talks about it looks like not being completely honest with your viewpoints. It looks like avoiding confrontation because you want somebody to like you or you don't want them to feel bad. Give me something else. What else is people pleasing?
People pleasing is not speaking your truth. And what I hear people pleasing of as well, it's avoiding confrontation because you may not want to tell the truth. Let's say this new definition of love. When someone says or does something and you know it's out of integrity and you don't tell them, that's not loving. That's people.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I've found recently that when I share from a place of love and I reflect to someone maybe a blind spot, that that's really love. And then they can have the breakthrough. And I'm not doing it for them to have the breakthrough, but it's also an integrity for me. Because otherwise, what happens for me in the past, I was the exact person that you're describing. I wouldn't say it, and then it would eat away at me. It would fester in me. I would feel inauthentic, and then I would cringe every time I'd be around this person because I would assume that they would know. And then it would get worse and worse with each time that I didn't tell the truth. And then eventually what happens? You blow up.
Mm-hmm. Or you get disease. Mind manifests in disease. I remember I was just writing about this morning, my very, very first long-term boyfriend. I would not, at the time I didn't know what this was, but when he would start to get angry, I would feel this tickle in my throat. And I thought it was my intuition telling me that he was getting angry. And it's like, oh, I just know when he gets angry. I just know it because I'm so close to him. And here, that feeling didn't stop until recently. But that was me not speaking my truth, right? Literally in my throat. Mm-hmm. So the people pleasing. Mm. I want to give all of the listeners, even if the listeners don't identify as recovering people pleaser or people pleaser, they probably know someone. Mm-hmm. And so first of all, when we're people pleasing because we don't want them to respond a certain way, we're limiting their unlimitedness. We want them to look at us like we're pure potential. Why don't we see them as such and take that action? Now, when I reflected back on my life, this is the best part. We know that what we give, we receive, right? We give love, we'll be able to receive more love. We give judgment, we probably will receive more judgment. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of time empaths, people pleasers, end up in relationships with narcissists. Right? Whether that's friendships or intimate relationships, or maybe that's a parental relationship. It doesn't really matter. And we find ourselves people-pleasing and people-pleasing and people-pleasing because the narcissist knows how to utilize our energy, right? They know how to manipulate. And so we start feeling really manipulated by the narcissist, the group of friends, whatever the thing is. And in my past, I looked back and I was like, okay, when was I people pleasing the most in my life? Okay, well, it was this point in my life when I was living here for this year and a half. Awesome. What was happening? Well, I was being manipulated the most at that point. And so if I take responsibility, I can actually see that we are not people pleasers or just heart-centered manipulators. We manipulate. And then if you'll notice when you get back, when you really take a look and reflect back to when you were people pleasing the most, I bet you will think that you were being manipulated the most and feeling the most victimized because of that. And so we get to give everybody an opportunity not to do that and not do the thing. Like we're literally, when I find myself people pleasing, because I recover, right? We all just, it's all a process. I can see that it's like, oh, I'm trying to manipulate this outcome. I'm trying to manipulate this person's feelings. and then I get it back.
Ah, yes. It's like you are in my head, in my being. I literally was thinking it and then you said it. And I've actually not met many people that have come to that realization. That actually being empathic and being someone that's been in that type of situation where we people please, people pleasing is twofold. It's self-manipulation and the manipulation of others around you because of an outcome that you are seeking for your own self-preservation. You make yourself small and you make them small. There's so many different aspects. And codependency, this is another huge one. It's all manipulation because both parties are not being honest with themselves. So how are they going to be honest with each other and choose from a place of authentic and compassionate expression of love? Because they're not giving that to themselves. Gosh,
yeah,
you're hard.
Oh man. I remember I did this MDMA ceremony with a guide, and I was talking about this one previous relationship, and I would label him a narcissist all day. And then I realized that I was no different. I was no different. My intentions might have been different, but I was still, we were just looking for love. Like, that's it.
I love you so much because this is seriously, I was like, am I the only one that sees this? I've had a lot. I mean, I've been in what I would consider a narcissist empathic relationship. And I have others that come into my world and they want to go into the whole story on, yeah, these narcissists and all of this, you know, and I'm like, no, no. I did it too. I just didn't know I was doing it because whatever it was, I was responding to my abusive background. I was going through and hiding my, whatever the excuse was. And the fact that I didn't realize it in this moment, I shut those conversations down because it doesn't serve us to project judgment on someone, whether they're in that situation or not. Are there still people who will come back into our lives and test our boundaries? Absolutely. Are there people that may not realize that they are unconsciously bullying you and manipulating themselves and you, and you get to say no to that? I'm not telling you to pretend like it's not happening, but you can now choose out of it. I had a man come back into my awareness last year during my year of cleanup, as I like to call it, and went through the whole love bombing thing. And I was like, hey, thank you. I'm really not interested. Like, I've put like my higher power is my number one priority right now. And the next relationship I go into is going to be with the one that I feel was created for me by the creator. And I just want you to respect that. Totally wouldn't respect it. Kept bulldozing, finally sent one last message and then got a really nasty one in response. And then I said, we're done here. That's the last time I remember talking to you. Like, you obviously still don't get it. You're not honoring and respecting, and I'm choosing out of this. And then I had to block him because he just wasn't comprehending, but I was still in my power and I chose not to be manipulated. And that was such a beautiful lesson for me because up until that point, I had reacted differently and I had run without fully speaking my truth. And when you do that, if you're trying to avoid or escape something, it will come back to you so that you can seal that up for yourself. Even if the other person isn't willing to meet you there, you get to do it for you on your end.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. So I interviewed this woman, Toni Jones, and she has this album is called Affirmations for a Grown Ass Woman. And it's like these sexy affirmations. And there's a line in there that talks about, it talks about something about finding a man and how as long as we hold ourselves, if he's not the right man, he will eliminate himself. And I think that is so true.
That's been happening to me hardcore ever since I went through my last year journey. It's like they come, and if they're not the aligned counterpart, that highest timeline, they literally remove themselves in very loving ways, almost saying like, I just realized I'm not the man for you. Like, you deserve so much more and I'm going to gracefully exit. That blew my mind. And I was like, hey, if he was for me, that wouldn't have happened. So I just am in full faith and trust these days. And, you know, in the past when I was younger, that used to hurt my heart. And now I just know I was being protected.
I would like to give the empaths and people pleasers some credit too, because I think that this whole conversation, it sounds like a bash and it sounds like we're doing it wrong and it sounds like we're being hypocrites. And I hear all of the time from people who consider themselves to be empathic, right? they talk about it like it's a weakness. Mm. And it's not. It's a beautiful opportunity to be able to set our own reference points. It's a beautiful opportunity to become a leader and like a light worker leader, right? It's a beautiful opportunity to see the human side and have compassion. And mm-hmm. I know that we are all headed, everybody listening, I'm going to assume, it wants to be headed towards the direction and the evolution of love. And let's not forget, this is this empowered dualistic point of view. Like you talked about it earlier, which is perfect. Because where my message has been moving for a really long time is we have this awakening in whatever way that we do, the spiritual awakening. We see that everything is connected. We see that we are all one. And inside that perspective of unity, we see that everything's sort of an illusion, right? We see that all of these things are illusions, the Maya, right? The mind is Maya. And yes, we are all one. We are all connected. Everything is an illusion. Hell yeah. And I chose to be human. And so things are here. I am in a physical reality. I do get to experience these low level emotions, and I'm not wrong when I do. Right. And so I do, sometimes it is a little bit of willpower to start the momentum. And so this is just a message, like all of the things that we're experiencing is perfect. And those times when I was people pleasing and manipulating, that helped me survive. Mm-hmm. I don't know what would have happened if I would have fought back with some of these men.
Mm-mm. It was all perfect. And I love what you said about unity, because I've been feeling into unity consciousness a great deal over the last couple of years. And it's really coming to a place of, you know, love is beautiful and love is kind, but it also doesn't just like roll over and let others walk all over it. And that's what this comes from. So where unity consciousness for me, I see it as I see the you in me that is the me in you. And if there's something that is in this 3D experience threatening my safety, I will absolutely take a stand for it. And so, but it's coming from a place of personal power for the highest good of all, rather than from the before my recovery, it was manipulation and running from it. And so I love how you tie that all in. It's being empathic is beautiful. When I was in the toxic side, it was me finding my value from saving others or being someone that people can come to and I can transmute their stuff. But I'm actually hindering them from their own growth experiences by doing that. And so, yeah, really like seeing the power in our superpower as empaths, and then also having beautiful boundaries and seeing the other person as whole and complete and holding space rather than being someone that has to come to the rescue.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah. Finding validation and being the superior being mm-hmm. is very real.
It's very egoic. If you don't realize it at the time, but our ego will use our gifts against us if we're not really conscious of it. Mm-hmm. So beautiful. And right now too, there's so many people waking up and realizing that there's more to this life than just the old way of being, and paradigms are being blasted into oblivion. And so I'd love for you to speak on what you would recommend to someone just now waking up to their gifts and some first steps on really recognizing, because there will be a voice. There's always a voice, no matter what part of the collective awakening we're in, that'll say, well, somebody else is already doing it, or who are you to do it? I feel that the moment I woke up, that's when all of my shadow came up to be addressed. So can you speak to that a little bit?
I'd love to. So two things are coming through. The first, in my experience, in my awakening, it started like 2011, right before the December 21st, 2012 debacle, with the Mayan calendar. And I started learning all of these things and my...
I was like, I need to show it because it's been, I have both of them, but yes.
I've never seen that book.
Oh, we'll have to share it with you. Everybody that's listening has heard me talk about it at least a few times. Mm-hmm. It's the 2012 Revelations from the Atlantean Age book, for those of you who can't see. But yeah, it really speaks to what you're saying. It's life as we know it had to change then, and it's changing again, and it's going to keep evolving as we go.
Yeah. And I learned both sides of that shift. I learned the opportunity side. And I also... I was awakened through conspiracy theories, and which really brought out the fear side. And fortunately, I felt that and I decided I didn't want it. And it taught me that there's things out there that I don't know. It shattered all of my paradigms. It shattered my old religious beliefs. It shattered all of these things because they do present facts in those. And when I realized that I didn't want to be in fear, because I started studying myself. So my family was like, my father's a conspiracy theorist. And he was introducing me to these things, which then led me into like sacred geometry, which then I started getting really interested in myself. And, you know, sacred geometry is like the natural progression of life. It's like natural law. It leads into hermetic principles. And then I started seeing how those theories brought us to fear, right? So then I started learning about love and higher frequencies and emotional management. And this is the point I wanted to get to, was I saw this and I felt superior to everybody else. I felt like I knew it all. I felt that they didn't know anything. And I felt like I had to speak it and force them to listen to me. I'm also a projector by human design. And so I know it's really that I'm not supposed to just speak my words. And so first things first, if you're new to this, if you're new to this awareness, if you're new to this conscious creation, I would just be very aware that you're not the only one. And something that I do, this would really support this. And I do this, I started doing this when I was working in like money mindset. I would just go out and I'd be like, oh my God, everybody is in lack. I can't get away from it. My family, the people on the street. And then I would just like look and see how everybody's in lack and I'm in abundance and I can't be in abundance because everybody around me is in lack. And then I switched it and it's like, listen, I'm assuming these things. And so what would it look like if I assumed success? And I assumed that this woman on the bus who's acting a fool is acting like this because she feels like she can because she's a successful in this other area, or this man who is dressed like complete dirt just wants to be himself and be self-expressed. And maybe he's helped millions of people find something. And so I would just assume that everybody is aware and everybody is a teacher. And everybody, even if they don't know the things and know the language and know the terms, that they may know something that you don't know. And so really bringing this humility in was a big, big shift. And then more people listened because I was curious to ask about other people. Mm-hmm. So it's the first thing. And the second thing to lead into what you were saying about, what were you just talking about?
We talked about a lot. So
it was about people waking up.
So awakening to their gifts and realizing that there will be shadow that comes up to challenge the expression of those gifts. And actually you just spoke to it, because what I realized is our ego wants us to believe that it's self-righteous and egoic, which is funny because the ego is actually telling you this, to be self-expressed and share your wisdom. When in reality, what you just said is it takes humility, being humble and recognizing that what you are sharing may not be common knowledge for everyone. And who are you to withhold that? So it's, and I also feel it's intention, right? If you're coming from a place of, I have to prove something, I want to change what you think, I'm going to make you wrong because I know I'm right. That's not what we're speaking of here. We're speaking of from a pure place within your heart to serve the greater good of all involved, to share what it is that's true for you.
With people who want to hear.
Correct.
Right. Yeah. With not just,
no bulldozing.
No, none of that. You can get curious, and I like to test. I'd like to test the waters and just like throw one little thing out there and see if they pick it up, and then it can start. And most of the time people want, I'm in Ohio. I'm in Cleveland. It's like a little state. I'm in like 30 minutes to the city and like 15 minutes to buttfuck. Like there's nothing out here. And I wanted to leave because I thought nobody was in this conversation here. I wanted to come to Venice. And I realized, and now I'm really excited to dive into my local community because people want to talk about it, but they want the permission to talk about it. So if we can lead the way and allow people, the most, you wouldn't expect the people that want to talk about this stuff, but they do.
Yeah. Yeah, I 1,000,000% resonate with that. And that's part of why I started this podcast, is to help people at least start by listening and then feel ignited and courageous enough to start sharing maybe even behind closed doors, whatever it is for you, to have the courage, because if we're going to be bold and self-express in this way, and there's so many listeners loving what we're saying, then who's to say that's not possible for everyone in their own niche, whatever that may be for them. Mm. I love that. Well, if you could sum up in a sentence or two what you would love the listener to walk away with, biggest takeaway, if nothing else, that you left them with this, what would that be?
It has to nothing to do with our whole conversation and everything to do with it. So people have been really, really enjoying this. And it's about momentum and like habit forming and self-trust, right? Interesting, because we were going to talk about self-trust and we didn't even cover it, which I love. When we are creating our life, we learn that we have habits that are ineffective and we want to start creating effective habits. And I want to be here to remind you that all you need, like starting a car, is use a tiny little bit of willpower to turn the key and move in the direction that you want to go through that fucking ego. Just a tiny bit of willpower, and then you'll start the momentum from there. And that could look as simple as like, you don't want to get up off the couch and write content. Turn off the music and like, just use a little bit and just get your ass up and start moving around, and you'll create momentum. And then you can utilize that to create any habit you want. Mm-hmm. Is that too long?
No, that was perfect. It's take the first step, and yes, then the second step, and then the third, and you will build momentum, but get out of that stagnant place of I don't know or I can't. But what if you could, and what if you did know, then what would you do? Start asking more powerful questions. I love that. And you've really spoken to that a few times. Oh my gosh. So amazing to have you. We went on to such an interdimensional conversation. I know that so many different wisdom drops in this conversation will serve the listeners so well. Can you share with us what our listeners can expect in your giveaway in the show notes?
Yes. So I'm super excited to offer this to you guys. I do something called somatic alchemy development. Sometimes I call it somatic session. Sometimes I call it somatic development. And I want to give one to one of you listeners. And what it is it's just a single deep dive with me that gives you Voxer access for 3 days afterwards. But it's really cool because we dive in and we develop your mind-body connection through intuition. We release sticky emotions. And we get you very, very, very crystal clear on the next step that you're going to want to take to get wherever you're going. And that's through you releasing these sticking emotions without fear and listening to your intuition. Mm-hmm. And it's a beautiful somatic. So somatic means body and alchemy just means science. So it's not as wooey as it sounds. It's really a beautiful process and you get to trust and know yourself a lot better. It's a 45 to 60 minute session with me. It's normally $444, which is really cool. And so all I want is I'm going to take everybody who enters. I'm just going to put them in a hat and write it down and pull a name. But I would love you to email me at hello@goldmindcoach.com and just tell me your biggest takeaway and tell me what you're looking to create this year.
Mm. Beautiful. I love that. And so would it be within a week's or 2 weeks time of this episode airing that they can expect to find out who the winner is?
So it's 4/16. I would say, yeah, within 7 days of the episode airing, I'll close it.
Beautiful. Wonderful. Amazing. Well, if you feel called, show notes have all the details on how to follow, engage, and play in this giveaway. And if you haven't subscribed, please do so below. It's been so beautiful to be here with you. My goodness, what a beautiful conversation. Thank you so, so much, Shauna.
Thank you.
You're so welcome. It has been a pleasure. Until next time, see you all in the next episode.